think that there are some other exceptions as well, and some of those are not usable on a day-to-day basis, but information that has been de-identified.
What do you mean by de-identified?
I mean that the information cannot be connected back to the data subject.
Okay, so that is basically when somebody's, when it's kind of crunched and made into, I think it's called metadata, when they're just looking at groups of people, they're not looking at a particular person. So they would say that there are 53% females within that workplace, they're not identifying each female.
Yeah, precisely right. And information that's also excluded from POPI is information relating to historical, statistical research.
I think also there is an exception when it comes to artistic endeavors as well as the media. So we're not going to have a situation where people are able to say, oh, you can't process my personal information on the front page of a newspaper because my personal information needs to be protected. Media houses are subject to certain regulations and certain codes of ethics, which means that they obviously have to make sure that they are protecting the privacy of people where it's appropriate, and where it's not appropriate, where they are giving information and telling a story, someone can't phone up the information regulator and say that you're going to take that journalist for some kind of a legal action on the basis of the POPI Act.
Yeah, and it's also, there's also an exemption for artistic and literary endeavours, because as with many rights, and in this case the right to privacy, it must also be weighed against the right to freedom of expression.
They're always balancing these kind of constitutional rights. And there's also exceptions when it comes to the government, for example, gathering personal information. Cabinet functions, so the executive branch of the government are allowed to process personal information. And also when you are doing processing information on behalf of a law enforcement agency, then you are entitled to gather that personal information, and it's not going to be subject to the POPI Act.
Another term that we'll deal with is that of operator, which is quite important.
Okay, can you just give us an example of an operator in relation to a responsible party and data subject?
Okay, well, as we said, the responsible party is generally the collector of information, but the processing of that information can be outsourced to another business or entity. And that business or entity is called an operator. They work under the responsible party's instruction, but they do not fall under the direct authority of the responsible party.
Okay, well, I'll give you an example within our law firm. Obviously, we have a huge amount of information, and we have to keep that documentation and that information for a certain period of time in terms of other statutes. And that means that we have to store that information. Because we generate so much paper and because we have huge files, often we have to have that stored elsewhere. Say, for example, at a storage unit. Because there's a lot of personal information that is stored elsewhere, we have to have an agreement with that operator, so for example, a Metro file, and we instruct them to look after our information and to store our information in a way that is compliant with the POPI Act.
Exactly right.
Okay. And the thing that people must remember, though, is that Shepson and Wiley will always be responsible for that information. So if something goes wrong and that information there's a breach and there's a data leak relating to that information, it'll be Shepson and Wiley or whichever company, Shepson and Wiley, that would be responsible for any fine that might eventuate from that.
Hence, they're called the responsible party, and the other entity would be called the operator.
And it's also important for people to remember that when you have an agreement with an operator, so when a responsible party reaches an agreement with an operator and is going to be paying that operator to look after personal information of data subjects, the responsible party has to take steps to audit whether that operator is going to be able to store that information in the correct way or process that information in the correct way. And do you have any idea how they would do that, Kate?
I think the best way to do that would be one of two ways. One is you need to have a written agreement And they need to have policies in place that will ensure POPI compliance. And another is to take it one step further and to do a due diligence and have a look yourself.
I think that that is something that is going to have to be done as part of your POPI compliance project. If you have any agreements with operators, and it is mandatory in terms of the POPI Act to reach agreement with these operators, you are going to have to physically go to the site or physically meet with the people that are going to be processing that information on your behalf and make sure that they're doing it in accordance with the POPI Act. We really want to hear your queries, your comments, and we want to be able to assist you with the POPI compliance project.
We're looking forward to hearing from you.